Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. We have here a cry for forgiveness or for sins to be forgiven, for those problems that we have between us and God, for them to be removed. And this was the psalmist's heart cry. We have a hymn study, but it's not one in our hymnal, so you'll have to endure me singing it later. Fortunately, there's a lot more that we can do besides just looking at the different verses that relate to the particular verses of the hymn. This particular song is Calvary Covers It All. Does anyone know that one? Calvary Covers It All? Okay, a couple people. So the only thing we need at this point is just the title, so that's what we'll go with. The title is Calvary Covers It All. And the story of this hymn is that first I'll set the scene. There's a place called the Pacific Garden Mission. Again, has anyone heard of that? Me, okay, just me. Very good. It is a place where homeless people would go in Chicago, and they could stay the night, or they could get fed. And it's been going now for a very long time. In fact, when I was at Bible college, we went and visited it, and it was interesting to be there. This particular place has seen thousands, in fact, millions of people come through it over the course of more than 100 years now. This is also called the Old Lighthouse, the Pacific Garden Mission. It is a place where the gospel had been preached many, many times. One of the men who got his life changed there, and I'll just read it because it's written down a lot better than I could make the story. There was a man who came in. He was slight of build, and he was clearly under the influence of liquor. He had not been seen there before. That night he did not respond to the invitation but left. However, he came back the next night and the next night, but it always had the same ending. He did not respond. By this time, some of the workers at the mission had gotten to know his name. He was not the general run-of-the-mill mission circuit. He was a professional entertainer. A man that had been advertised as having the fastest feet in the world. And when he was sober, he would go to different towns and he would dance for money. And he was good at it. He said he was hitting the bottle and he was a slave to sin, Satan, and the suds. That's alcohol, for those who don't know. Sin, Satan, and the suds. Those were the things that had him tied up. There was a couple that were running this mission at the time. That was Mr. and Mrs. Walter Taylor and Ma Taylor. That's what they all called her. She often would play the piano, and she had been into the entertainment field before she got saved, and she knew the loneliness, the temptations, the pitfalls, and so she prayed for Mac. That's what they called him, Mac. Even though his name's Eddie Cantor. I don't know. His name is Mac. Sometimes those things don't make too much sense, do they? She prayed for him, saying, "Dear Lord, help us to say the right things tonight so that we can win Mac to thee. Please touch his heart." This was his fourth or fifth visit to the old lighthouse. The meeting was in progress, and Ma Taylor was playing the piano, and another student of hers was playing the other piano, and Ma Taylor looked towards Mac and saw that he was trying to sing and that he seemed to be enjoying the songs. And when the singing was over, she noticed that this time he stayed awake and listened to every word that the speaker was saying. And when the speaker, that is the one who was preaching, finished, Pa Taylor gave the invitation, and the first one to jump up was Mac. He came and knelt at the front. As the invitation continued, Mac was having trouble, and he looked like he was wrestling with something whilst kneeling up at the front. So Ma Taylor went up and she knelt down beside him and she heard him saying, "You don't understand. You don't know how bad I am, Lord. Really, I'm the worst man in the world. You can't save me. I'm too bad." Upon hearing this, she began quietly to talk to Mac, telling him that God loved him so much that he would save him and take away his sins. Ma Taylor remembered a testimony she had heard a few weeks before by a Mr. Crawford of the American Tract Society on how Calvary covers all our debt. And so she continued, saying, "Mac, Calvary covers it all the sins of your past life." He then cried out, "Please say that again, Mrs. Taylor." Mrs. Taylor repeated, "Mac, Calvary covers it all." There was a moment of silence, and then the reply, "Calvary does cover it all, my whole past of sin and shame." "Oh, Mrs. Taylor, I am so glad it is true and that you told me." That night, Walter McDonald became a new creature in Christ, or as he liked to say it, "Jesus found me and made me all over at the Pacific Garden Mission." He then became known as Happy Mac, and he soon left the entertainment world and became an evangelist and a soul winner. Something happened to Ma Taylor that night as well. In her heart and in her mind, a seed for a song was planted. And so one afternoon that same week, she wrote the song, "Calvary Covers It All." And over was re-echoing in her ears the response of Happy Mac, "Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and its shame. Oh, Mrs. Taylor, I'm so glad you told me." So the theme for this morning, thankfully, is not tied too closely to the specific words of the hymn, although we'll have that at the end. But I wanted us to consider how much our sin is covered by what Calvary purchased. Jesus' death on the cross, or his blood. Calvary here is just a shorthand for Jesus' death on the cross, isn't it? Calvary does cover all of our sin and shame. And this is what we should be rejoicing in today. That again brings us back to Psalm 32, where it says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." This is the heart cry of everyone who doesn't know Jesus as Savior. And most of us here, I've talked to you, met you, you have given some sort of profession of faith. And each one of us could stand up and say, "Here was the sin that I had, and it is all covered. It's covered completely. None of it is sticking out. None of it is a peak too high for the blood to wash over. None of it is sin too dark to be covered over." And so we need to look at how sufficient is Christ's sacrifice for us. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Very familiar passage here in Isaiah chapter 53. We will read verses 4 and 5. And we could just read the whole chapter for that matter, but we'll read verses 4 and 5. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And we want to emphasize that last phrase, "with his stripes we are healed." This is not and there was a way of escape made, but it's not entire, and we have to do the rest. It's not, "and his stripes purchased half of our debt of sin. His stripes have almost healed us. They've brought us close to life. No, it is that we are healed through his stripes. And as it said at the beginning, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions. Jesus truly, when he died, his death, including the entire way that it happened, being lifted up on a cross, and being bruised, beaten, mocked, scorned, all of it was for the purpose of our transgressions being forgiven. He bore the punishment for our sins. Let's go now to Galatians chapter 6. There's many other places we can go to see the same thoughts. But Galatians chapter 6, I think, sums it up for us. This should be our heart cry. Galatians 6, verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy upon the Israel of God." We have here Paul saying that his glory is the cross of Christ alone. That's it. Jesus is the only glory, because the world is crucified unto me, and I am crucified unto the world, and now I am become a new creature. This new life. It is a sufficient sacrifice that Christ made. Notice again, Paul does not mention anything else. He doesn't say, "I glory in the cross of Christ, and I glory that I have said the rosary a million times." Obviously, he wouldn't say that. He's not Catholic. But he didn't add any works to this at all. It's just the cross of Christ, and what are the benefits? I'm dead to the world is dead to me, and I'm a new creature. He doesn't claim the things that he had done for God before his salvation, including his circumcision and his standing in the people of Israel. None of that. None of that availed anything. It didn't have any bearing except a new creature being made alive by Christ. Jesus' sacrifice is sufficient for washing away all our sins. We find then in Revelation chapter 5, I always like going to Revelation. It gives us a perspective on the future, and not so much so that we can know all the ins and outs of prophecy, but so that we can see the end of things and realize the wicked aren't going to get away with it. Bad things happen in this world because everything hasn't yet come under judgment and under the control of God as it will in the end. So there's a great deal of positive things in Revelation that we can learn. But if we go to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, and wisdom and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. We have here a description of Jesus as the Lamb, slain before the foundation of the world. He is called worthy, and then he is his worthiness is based upon the fact that he was slain, and that's his worthiness to open up that book that no man could open. But then notice in verse 9 that it goes on and says that he has redeemed us by his blood. He paid for us or purchased us by his blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Jesus has rescued us with his blood. His blood is that which saves us. What he purchased for us there on Calvary that day when he died on the cross was a forgiveness of sins, a new creature, and a belonging to him, a new nation, a new new connection, a new family. How else do we want to put that? Those are all different ways that it's put throughout the New Testament. A new family, a new building, a new gathering. We have the sufficiency only through his death, through his blood. This is where the sufficiency comes. Jesus did not do additional works that have earned him the right to redeem us, to earn for us salvation, have our sins forgiven, that reparation between us and God, that reconciliation. We have a clear way because of Calvary. I've got a couple more passages to go to. Hebrews chapter 7. And then if you have any thoughts or questions, we'll have those at the end. Hebrews chapter 7, and we'll read verse 27. This is talking about Jesus, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did, that is, make a sacrifice, once, when he offered up himself. We have here Jesus making one sacrifice. This is less than any other high priest or priest throughout all of time had made. This was less because he only needed to make one sacrifice for us. And we find that this sacrifice was sufficient for us. Do you think that Jesus, now living, would hold back from making additional sacrifice if it was necessary? The answer is no. If it was required to make a daily sacrifice, would Jesus do so? Yes. Is it necessary? No, because one sacrifice was sufficient. That one time upon the cross was enough. It was once for all, to quote another hymn. Once he died. A very sufficient salvation we have. If we go now to 1 Peter. In chapter 2. And we'll begin reading in verse 22, we find Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. We have here Jesus' death upon the cross being directly connected to our sins being born and to our need to live righteously. Calvary covers it all. Do we live like it? So we've gone on a little journey here. We started with the illustration from one man who thought he was at the worst of the worst as far as sinners go, and then how he came to see that Calvary was enough. And that one thought, that Calvary's sacrifice was sufficient, was what brought him across the finish line to salvation and a changed life. And then we've seen how in the Old Testament and the New Testament, Jesus Christ's death upon the cross is sufficient. Sufficient to pay for our sins, sufficient to cover all of our transgressions. It is enough to give us that new creature, and it is enough to bring us to live a righteous life from here on out. And I think that's where most of us need the application. We can rejoice in what God has done, and that Calvary did cover everything for us in the past. And we should be known as Happy, whatever our name is. He was known as Happy Mac after he came to Christ. We should be known as Happy, whatever our name is, because Jesus covered our sins at Calvary. But also, we should henceforth live righteously because Jesus bore our sins on the tree. Because he died that once, we should now live day by day by day righteously. And none of this is new, but hopefully this is an encouragement to do so, to go from I am the worst sinner to I want to live for Christ. That's the transformation. That's the journey that we need to be on. All right. Does anyone have any questions or other verses or comments that you came to mind? Yes, Les. And yet not ignoring the true faith will lead to a new creation, which means a new kind of living. So that's not works. Just make that clear. No one's confused. Perfect. Other comments? Questions? No. Yes. Yes, that was another one that I considered going to. Jesus said, it is finished. The only reason I didn't go there is because it takes a long look at John to find out that he's talking about forgiveness of sins. But no, it is definitely the intention there to say that the sacrifice was done. Yeah, it is finished. Yes, Cam.
Starts to try to hand out. Yeah. That was just an interesting encounter.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't need a continual crucifixion. We've got a finished work. Yeah. No, that's. Yeah. That's definitely a weird, different way of looking at it. All right. Any others? Well, yeah, we've got the song then itself. Calvary covers it all. Oh, I hate well, I hate singing without music. We'll give it a go. Maybe I'll just read it. Yeah, we'll do that. Gab's nodding. She says, your singing's not that good. Perfect. far dearer than all the world can impart was the message that came to my heart, how that Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all, my past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. The stripes that he bore and the thorns that he wore told his mercy and love evermore, and my heart bowed in shame as I called on his name, and Calvary covers it all. How matchless the grace when I looked in the face of this Jesus, my crucified Lord, my redemption complete I then found at his feet, and Calvary covers it all. How blessed the thought that my soul by him bought shall be his in the glory on high, where with gladness and song I'll be one of that throng, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all, my past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. yeah, anyway, I won't sing it for you, so that's good. That was all of the verses I had for us to go to this morning. So I was wondering if there was anyone who had any testimony of their salvation that they'd like to praise God with, to close this out with. We've got 10, 15 minutes, so... Uh-oh, no. I know, it's not Sunday night. We're mixing things up. Yes, Brother Chris.
I got saved when I was 9 years old in Sunday school, and it was the Bible verse John 3:16, oddly enough, and the teacher just made it super plain and printed it out with the blanks, you know, for God so loved, blank, and just put your name in there, that when blank believes in him instead of whosoever, put your name in there. As a kid, I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah.
I just thought, God loves the world.
Very good. Yep, another? Well, I guess I can give mine then. So I was 5 years old. There had been an evangelistic meetings going through the week. It was summertime, I remember, because it was hot. Don't ask me the month or the day. I just know that it was hot, it was summer. and the evangelist was preaching on health. And he made a good job of describing it. And I was, rightly, fearful of it. I think we sometimes ignore how bad the alternative to Jesus is. Hell is very much a bad place to go. And I was convinced, okay, if I've sinned, I deserve to go to hell. And growing up in a good Christian home, my parents had convinced me that I was a sinner. So I was very much sure that I was going to go to hell unless something changed. And then at the invitation, I went forward, and my dad was a deacon at the time, and he was able to show me in Romans how I could ask Jesus in my heart. That's actually the phrase that I used because I was 5 years old. So I was like, oh, I'll ask Jesus into my heart. I don't know where I picked that phrase up from. but using the book of Romans and going through the Romans Road and a few other verses, my dad was able to explain to me that, yes, my sin does deserve hell, but at the same time, Jesus has provided salvation. And all we have to do is call out to him. And so that's what I did that night. And it is a scary thing to think where I would be if it hadn't been for that. Knowing my wicked heart, I'm sure I would have ended up, you know, down on the corner with drugs or anything. That is not even an exaggeration. I know my heart. I would be doing all of the worst things, just like many of my friends have ended up. But instead, I have followed Christ since that time. So there's that change of life. And I can't stop praising God that he sent his son and that I'm allowed to enter into this as well. That is all of God. That's all of his glory. All right. Any others? Time for one or two more. Yes, Joy. Funny how that happens. Yes, we often don't think of our sin as it is. And you're like, oh, they'll think I'm lying. Well, if you were, that's just because you were a sinner. Yeah. All right, anyone else? It's good to praise God, and it should raise our spirits as well, encourage us with what God has done. All right. Well then, we'll finish up a little bit early today. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to look into your word and to hear the testimony of how you cover all of our sins, how you have paid the penalty sufficient for us. And Lord, we thank you that we can walk in that newness of life now. We ask, Lord, that you would use us even this week, that you would make your light shine through us, that we would be able to be seen as happy and walking with you. Lord, that we would not be a detraction to your name, but rather bringing glory to it. And Lord, we thank you that one day in eternity, the truth will be seen and known, and we will be able to join in that chorus saying that you are worthy and that you are slain for our benefit. And Lord, I thank you that you are so amazing to us. In Jesus' precious name.